My name is Kelsey Brand. I am recording this as part of an assignment for my graduate program at Winona State University in Winona, Minnesota. Today I will be speaking with a friend of mine from high school and discussing her life story a little bit. Amanda, thanks for talking to me, by the way.
Hi, thank you.
I just want to let you know again that if anything is uncomfortable, because we're going to be talking about some sensitive information today, if at any point you're uncomfortable, just let me know and we can pause or stop the recording and adjust it from there. If you have any questions of me, please let me know.
I will.
Otherwise, let's just get started. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, my name is Rhonda, as we all know. I am currently doing a little bit of a job hunt because our fateful little Godfather's store closed down, and I was kind of basically living there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the middle of town, kind of where the bustle and big activity is. Other than that, just kind of trying to live my life, you know?
I'm trying to float on through.
Float on through with my head just barely above water.
Sure, it's been pretty stressful lately.
Yeah, it's been a little bit rough.
Sure, sorry to hear about that.
Nah, everyone's got it.
Yeah, that's true, that's a good outlook though.
Thank you.
So part of what we're doing today is just talking to individuals about their life story, people from different cultures or different groups, generally groups that have been marginalized in some way, that aren't necessarily always treated as justly as they should be.
Okay.
And I know that you were interested in sharing some of that perspective from me. Can you explain a little bit about how you identify? Excuse you. Bless you.
I'm so sorry.
You're fine. Okay. Bless you.
Could you repeat that? I was so busy sneezing.
Okay, it's not a problem. I just want to talk a little bit about how you identify as part of a culture or a group that might be marginalized.
Okay. Well, I know it's not as big of a deal as, say, when races are marginalized, but I am pansexual, and I know that the LGBTQ plus community has been, I'll say, kind of swept under the rug for a long time, and they're finally starting to take a little bit more of the spotlight than they used to. So I guess I could say that as part of that culture, I can say me personally, I've never felt that way, but I had it pretty easy.
Sure.
In comparison to a lot of people, I'd say, from that area.
Sure. Can you tell me just a little bit more about that? You say it's been swept under the rug, but you personally haven't had a ton of experience that was negative.
Yeah. So I know I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of family, and I've heard some stories from people I don't even really know, people I've met, that have had a lot of negative reactions, like family members disowning them, being threatened with verbal violence or physical violence. And as for me, I've never really endured that. I had a really good support system. I had a lot of friends who were really accepting of me, who I would say even like were willing to protect me a lot when, especially when I was in high school, where it was probably the roughest for me.
Sure.
And I just never had any negative backlash. I had, probably the worst part of it was when my parents thought, quote unquote, it was a phase that I was going through.
Sure.
And it felt a little bit like they were bullying me at the time. But other than that, they eventually grew to accept it. They understood. We had a lot of sit-down talks. We really discussed how we felt about the subjects. And over time, it just became second nature, really.
Sure. So just to make sure I'm on the same page, it sounds like a lot of the majority of issues you had were with your family. And
correct.
Them adjusting to it rather than your own struggles with that.
Yeah. My family definitely struggled a little bit more than I did. For me, it was, I don't know, it was very natural for some reason. I didn't get a lot of positive feedback when I was, like, younger, when I felt it set in.
Sure.
But for some reason, it was just okay to me in my head. It didn't feel strange or weird.
It just made sense.
Yeah, it just made sense.
Well, and you said that you didn't really ever feel any negative backlash or negative perceptions from the people in your friend group that were close to you. And so having that support, strong support system was probably very helpful.
I would definitely agree with that, actually, mm-hmm. now that you've linked it together for me. That definitely mm-hmm. makes sense to me. That, I don't know, I didn't have the negative backlash, so of course I didn't think it was odd or it was strange or mm-hmm. unnatural or anything.
Sure. And are you out in the community now to friends, family?
I have been out to my family since I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I've been out to my friends since middle school. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, I guess, I was out since I was about 10 years old.
Sure.
In the community, I guess, if someone asks me, I'll tell them. I have mm-hmm. nothing to hide.
Sure.
I don't walk up to someone and say, hey, I'm pansexual, how are you? But I mean, if it comes up in conversation, I'll talk about it. If they have questions, of course, I'll discuss it. And
of course.
I don't know. It's just, I have nothing to hide.
And have you found that people are pretty open to hearing about it if they do question or if they do ask?
I have come across some people who not necessarily are not open. Mm-hmm. They just don't understand.
Sure.
Specifically, when I tell them that I'm pansexual. Not necessarily that I am not straight, but pansexual to them is confusing. Mm-hmm. Because it just sounds the same as being bisexual.
Sure.
Which bisexual is, obviously, you're attracted to the two genders, which is the bi in the bisexual.
Yep.
Pansexual is actually under an umbrella term mm-hmm. under bisexual, which just means you're attracted to two plus genders. You are attracted to basically everyone under the spectrum.
So would that mean, would that include then trans individuals or people who identify as gender fluid?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, okay. Pansexual people, if you look it up under Wikipedia, I've had to look under a couple of sources to really kind of get a concrete idea, mm-hmm. Says that pansexual people are generally gender fluid. They don't mm-hmm. necessarily identify as man or male or female or woman.
Sure.
They just go with the flow, quote.
Mm-hmm. What's comfortable to them.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, too, because I've known you for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Knew you really, really well in school. And I think, I think in my mind, you for some reason, and I hope this isn't offensive, for some reason I always associate you with bisexuality. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's...
It's not insulting to me because for a long time I did think I was bisexual. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I originally came out to my friends in middle school, I did say that I was bisexual, but mm-hmm. I really didn't research very much. I just heard mm-hmm. from my older sister, who was also pansexual. Mm-hmm. At the time, she had identified as bisexual, and when I talked to her, what she said made sense to me, so I just kind of went with the flow.
Sure.
I just kind of attached to the term, and I just went with it. Mm-hmm. But then once I got older, actually once I left high school, I did a lot of research because I had a really close friend at the time who was really struggling with her identity. Mm-hmm. She couldn't figure out if it was just a coincidence or if she was actually starting to understand what her orientation was. So mm-hmm. I did a lot of research to try and help her and talk her through it. And that's when I came upon the term pansexual, and it made a lot of sense to me, so
sure.
I kind of clung to that term instead.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, excuse me, mm-hmm. in the last couple of years, I think the term pansexual, gender fluid, mm-hmm. Just in general, I think all of the, I don't know, the more open attitudes towards people identifying in the ways that they feel free to now mm-hmm. has grown. And
yeah.
I think the term pansexuality has just kind of blossomed, too, and become more prevalent.
I think so, too. I've actually noticed that it has been more widely noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hear about people being pansexual more often than I hear about them being lesbian or gay or bisexual mm-hmm. or transitioning. I hear about it so much more, mm-hmm. especially in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of friends that I know that are recently just like, yeah, I'm pansexual, like, I don't talk about it. But it's so strange because I hadn't heard it for mm-hmm. so long. I didn't even know it existed. And then suddenly, excuse me.
No, you're fine.
And then suddenly it just is everywhere.
Sure.
It's all over the place. Like, mm-hmm. and not saying that it suddenly just poofed into mm-hmm. existence, but like you said, it's becoming more relevant. Everyone is starting to speak out and say, you know, I'm pansexual.
Sure.
I'm not just...
Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit, maybe people feel a little bit safer.
I would say,
hopefully.
Yeah, I would hope that's the case, especially. I know that Winona is a pretty, people say it's big, but it's a pretty small town, and sometimes people don't feel safe expressing themselves in small towns because everyone knows everybody, everyone knows everyone's gossip, no matter how much you want to try and keep it secret. And for some people who don't want their sexuality to be known, Winona is not a good place to tell anyone.
Yeah, it'll get around in this town.
Exactly. But I think it's starting to get better with the LGBTQ plus community being a lot more open to the idea of expressing who they are, what they are, and people feel safer because everyone is starting to finally become a part of that, starting to actually openly express everything, talk to people, discuss. People aren't uncomfortable anymore because everyone is, well, this is how it is. I will talk to you. I will explain to you as best as I can. Mm-hmm. I will help you work through your feelings about it. And it's, I don't know, I think it's becoming easier.
There's definitely a movement, I think, in professional areas as well, towards being more inclusive and more open. I know something with my counseling program or what I've done and plan to do in the future when I'm working with clients is actually, as a way to make them feel a little bit more comfortable too, instead of just flat out, you know, asking them to tell me about themselves, I'll begin by letting them know who I am. These are the pronouns I prefer to use. You know, this is where my experience is, but I have no problem learning more.
Of course,
and then hopefully letting that open the door a little bit more.
And I think that's a really good idea, actually, because I remember there was a time when I was out with some friends and I accidentally used the wrong pronouns.
Okay.
On a girl. And I felt so bad at the time, but it was because, you know, that's something that we should normalize, is like telling people right away, I prefer these pronouns, will you please use these pronouns on me? And I, of course, made the mistake of using the wrong pronouns because it's not brought up in conversation enough. Like, I understand it can be awkward just, you know, meeting someone for the first time and saying, hey, these are my pronouns, please use them. But it's such a big door to open, and it helps so much, and it can, not telling people what you prefer to use for your pronouns can cause so many problems, so many hurtful issues that it takes a long time for some people to get over and to be comfortable with. So I think that should definitely be normalized more often.
It should. I agree wholeheartedly. I think a lot of the time the issue people have with pronouns is that we don't discuss it as often as we should.
That's true.
And we have so much ingrained in our culture still about, you know, dead set gender identities from birth and up.
Right.
That people fall into these gender roles, and even if the people they're around that they might care about don't fit squarely into them, it's hard to get it out of your head that, you know, you appear biologically female, you physically look like a female, so that's what I'm going to refer to you as.
Of course, right.
Sometimes it's hard to get that out of your head.
It is, and especially if they're not necessarily, like, around communities that have people like that. Like, when I was younger and when I originally lived in Baltimore, Maryland, up until I was about 10 years old.
Sure.
I didn't know a lot of gay people back then. All the family I'd ever had, as far as I knew, was straight. And my family down there is very horrible.
Oh.
They're not good people, to be totally honest. They're not good people. So the words fag, the N-word that I will never, ever say in public.
Sure.
Things like that is normal to them. Like, gay people being around wasn't normal. So when, you know, when it comes to situations like that, if they're not surrounded by people who are openly like, hello, I am a lesbian, I am gay, I am transitioning, you don't get that, like, how babies are introduced to, like, animals when they're younger. Like, I think it was said that if they're introduced to animals when they're younger, they get used to the dandruff that animals get, and they don't get sick. They get, like, immunity to it.
Sure.
So, the same with people. If you're not around that, like, especially when you're young or when your brain is still developing, like, it's very hard to come out of your original way of thinking as you're a female, you're a woman. You're a male, you're a dude. You can't be anything other than those gender normatives.
Sure.
But if you're surrounded by all everything, it becomes a little bit easier, I think.
A little bit more comfortable.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And you said that you moved here when you were 10 from Baltimore, from a family that wasn't necessarily, in your opinion, quite so open. More conservative, it sounds like.
Right, conservative.
I'm wondering how that impacted the way that everything has worked out for you in terms of your gender identity, your sexual identity, but just who you are as a person in the world, too.
Amazingly, it didn't really impact me too much. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I had really good older sisters who really took care of me, really made me feel like I belonged, no matter what I felt like, mm-hmm. no matter how I saw the world. They made me feel really, like, well-placed in this world.
Sure.
I didn't feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I was younger and I was starting to realize that I didn't feel the same way that everyone around me felt, whenever I talked to my sisters about it, they were like, you're young, you'll figure it out. There's mm-hmm. no need to worry about it. And I don't know, that really helped me, especially being in the place that I was. I was
mm-hmm.
a real, not upstanding citizen when I was younger, when I was living there. But my sisters made me feel normal still.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped, I think. That really helped in the long run of everything.
Feeling normal is really important
mm-hmm.
and very welcome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the concept of normality. As it applies to you.
Normality?
Mm-hmm.
It's such an odd word to use because mm-hmm. it's... People say normal when they say, like, a woman who has a job, she's got her family that she wants to raise, she has a car, she has this great life, she's doing this, doing that, and then someday she's just gonna die and she had a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use the word normal like that because that's not the only life you should lead.
Sure.
Or that's the only life that's possible to lead. Say there's a woman who never wants to have kids, but she has this amazing job. She's had these amazing connections with all these people, but she's never wanted a husband. She's never wanted kids. Living that single woman life, people wouldn't say that's normal because every woman, quote unquote, wants a husband, wants kids, wants a family.
Mm-hmm.
But that's odd to me.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're almost saying that the word normal can be conceived by some people as desirable or good,
yes.
whereas abnormal is sometimes bad.
Right. Like, for example, my brother said I wasn't normal once upon a time
mm-hmm.
because I told him I never want kids.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's not normal. I said, why? He said, well, you'll understand when you have kids. Because every woman desires kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for most people. Most people do want kids, and that's
sure.
totally okay. But I don't think people should say it's abnormal to, like, not want kids, not want a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Say someone never wants to drive in their life. When I was younger, I would say that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what's wrong with not wanting to drive? There's other ways to get transportation.
Yeah.
There's bicycles, there's the subway, there's buses, there's
sure.
walking.
Sure.
Just because you don't want to drive doesn't mean you're not normal.
So normality is almost on a spectrum, but neither end is any worse or less desirable than the other. It's just
correct.
The places people fall.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. You've mentioned your sisters a couple of times and your brother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of wondering how your family has played into your life and into your story.
Mm. My brother hasn't played a lot. Me and my brother have had a really rough past,
mm-hmm.
a really rough relationship.
Sure.
So I really don't have much to say about him, especially with my journey through everything.
Mm-hmm.
However, my three sisters, they're Trina, Melanie, and Marlena, actually,
mm-hmm.
have been really supportive. Mostly my sister Trina and my sister Marlena.
Sure.
Trina is almost double my age, but we have very similar personalities.
Okay.
And Marlena is just a couple years older than me. We never saw eye to eye when we were younger.
Sure.
But we've come to depend on each other really well. And when I originally came out with these ideas, with this way of thinking, they both really stood behind me on that. Like, when I would get in fights with my dad back mm-hmm. when it, they were still adjusting, they were instantly at my side.
Sure.
They were instantly supporting me. They would basically go to bat for me because I was still just a little too young to really express myself correctly.
Mm-hmm. It can be hard to fight for yourself when you're not really sure what's going on either.
It can. It really can.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like that relationship is just super, super, super important.
I really love my sisters. They're very mm-hmm. good to me.
That's good, though. Mm-hmm. It's good to have such a strong support network.
Exactly. Especially mm-hmm. especially if you don't get it anywhere else. You need some support somewhere.
Sure.
Especially when you're dealing with, you know, any issue in your life. Not just being, like, openly out. Anything else that goes on in your life. You need a strong support system to really feel like you belong.
Mm-hmm. Especially no matter what you identify as, be it sexuality, race,
right,
culture, family history,
exactly,
knowing that there's somebody on your side.
It's always good. It's always it's the best, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And now only one of your sisters lives in Minnesota.
Yes.
I'm wondering how that plays in with the distance between you guys.
It's been pretty rough with my older sisters who don't live here. They still live in Maryland. But we keep in touch. I message them all the time. Me and my sister, we chat on the phone. Me and Trina do. My sister Melanie has her own family, so it's a little harder to talk to her about some things mm-hmm. because I'm still just 24 years old. I don't have a family. I don't have my own house. I don't have a car. Like,
sure.
It's hard to talk to her about some things, but she's always there for me. Mm-hmm. If I call her, if we talk, it's just a little harder. With Trina, sure. we're so similar that it's like she's almost right next to me when we talk. There is no, like, misstep in our conversation. We just talk, and there's nothing missing.
It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like with the sister you're not quite as close with, it sounds like on the one side, you guys are close, you have that connection, mm-hmm. and yet sometimes it's just kind of a climb to get there, and some stuff you could talk about, but it's almost easier not to.
Yeah, it's almost easier not to, mm-hmm. mostly because she gets very stressed very easily.
Okay.
She's a stressful person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more, I don't want to talk to her about some things because I don't want her to stress more than she already is.
Sure.
Like, I can talk to Trina about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get it off my chest. I can vent and she is there and she understands. And for Melanie, I can just check in with her. I can talk to her, make her know that I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. I miss her. If she needs to talk, I'm there.
Sure. Sounds like you're taking more of a caretaker role with her mm-hmm. as opposed to sometimes the relationship with the others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That can be hard, though.
It can be. I do the same with my sister Marlena sometimes, mm-hmm. but because I know I have someone that I can turn to help me,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to know that I can be the caretaker, or act as a caretaker for them.
Sure. It's a give and take.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like your family, again, is super, super important. And you mentioned, too, the differences a little bit between Winona being such a small town in Maryland and just knowing about the shared history we have between ourselves and high school.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sometimes things were really great and sometimes not necessarily with your identity, but with the identities in our friend group and
mm-hmm.
the general mindset of the students in our class.
Mm-hmm.
Things got a little dicey at times.
Yeah,
can you expand on that?
Well, we had a lot of kids in our, not necessarily our classroom, but our class year that didn't like me very well. Not just because of my orientation, but because I was a brat. And because I was so open, there were a lot of kids who weren't necessarily comfortable with it. They
mm-hmm.
kind of had a problem with, but they never really did anything. They pretty much left me alone, except for one incident. I remember very clearly I was in gym class, and I had a couple friends with me.
I remember this.
And one of my classmates called me over to talk to him, like, on the other side of the gym floor. And he was like, do you know that there are some rumors going on around you? I generally know that I'm unliked, for the most part. Is that the rumor you're referring to? He was like, no. Everyone's saying how, I'm so sorry, this is going to sound so silly, how you're in a big lesbian orgy with all your friends. And I was like, I didn't know that was happening, but thanks for bringing that to my attention. But no, I'm the gay one. They're not. That can I just need you to leave them out of that if you don't mind. And he was like, oh, okay, well, I just wanted you to know that there was a rumor going around.
Oh.
And I was like, thanks for that.
Sure.
It was just so odd. I'd never heard it. I hadn't even known, other than people saying that I was mean and rude, that there were other rumors going around. And the fact that it was like, including my friends at the time, I think that was the most dicey part about it. Because it's like, if you want to spread a rumor, go ahead. But don't involve other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually, I think, with you that day. And I believe I was one of the people included in that rumor. And from my own perspective, too, I was just kind of like, all right, cool.
It's just so funny what people come up with.
It is.
Why didn't you just ask me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't you just talk to me?
Sure. Well, we laugh about it now, but I guess from my perspective, I was more concerned about you and him not getting into it at the time.
I was a little rowdy. Yeah,
but I don't think I ever really asked you how that worked for you and how that felt to kind of have him. I mean, I guess it's a good thing that he was polite about it.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know.
You could have used a little more tact.
Mm-hmm.
As for how I felt, I think it's really funny now. I think I remember being a little angry at the time. Mm-hmm. Not because it was a rumor about me, because I really didn't care. But I think it was just, it was the same thing. Don't include my friends and stuff that you have no idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if he did it himself. I don't know if he actually heard it from anyone. Because like I said, I'd never heard anything like that before.
Sure.
And it was just so odd that they were so specific. This big lesbian orgy.
That's quite, that paints quite an image.
I had a lot of gal pals in high school, too, so just think about how big that would have been.
Oh my gosh.
And how odd that is. Not odd, I'm sorry, I hate to use those words.
No, but...
Silly.
Yeah, how interesting, I guess, that they can just make those assumptions. Is that something you think happens a lot? Not necessarily just to kids nowadays, but to adults as well, those assumptions?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
And I even find myself thinking some of those things sometimes, like thinking, wow, that must be this in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an active lifestyle to not, I hate to say this, spread rumors about people.
Of course.
It is an active, like, choice, because in your head you think of these things. You think, oh, well, for instance, that woman has a really big diamond ring. She must be rich. She's probably got, like, two husbands on the side. And you just go with this train of thought, and it just runs wildly, and that's how the rumors start.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard once that, like, the first thing you think is what you've been conditioned to think.
Sure.
The second thing you think is what you choose to think about the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that first thought just, okay, that's gone. Let's think about the reality here.
Gotta reframe it.
Yeah, you gotta reframe it. And I think that's one of the things that kids didn't know in high school. We were still young. We were still stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We were still figuring ourselves out. Like, I get it. The rumor didn't really bother me, and it doesn't bother me now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that it still happens to, like, adults, to kids, to teenagers, of every race, of every gender identity, of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to everyone. And it's unfortunate that it happens.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
Like, I just wish people could talk to people better.
Sure. Better communication.
Yes.
More... Again, I think just being open and willing to listen, you don't have to necessarily agree, but just listening without judgment.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. I think we need more of that.
And you touched a little bit. I really liked how you talked about, you know, the fact that we all do have these biases.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do have these first impressions in our heads.
Yeah.
And I guess I know with myself, even it's something I struggle with sometimes.
I struggle with it a lot myself.
Mm-hmm. Being from small town Winona, sometimes I find myself just thinking the mindset that some of my older family members, who are sometimes very racist, think. Not along the lines of me thinking bad things about different races, but a lot of socioeconomic assumptions.
Yep.
And again, it's very intentional, the conditioning towards putting those initial thoughts aside and refocusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I know you're very, very good at that. I think I've gotten pretty good at that myself. I just wish I knew a way to make that a skill set that everybody could have.
I mean, it's kind of circling back to communicating. Discussing with people, letting them know that, you know, actually it's very natural. You think the first thing, but it's very important that we recondition ourselves to be more inclusive, more communicative, more open to the fact that it's not always as it seems.
Yeah.
There are different realities going on here. Like, you think that guy might be really well off just because he has, like, a really good car, but the reality might be that he lost his kids. Like, he probably doesn't have his wife anymore. Like, they all left. He's living horrendously now. Like, you can't just judge everything by the cover of it. I guess is what I was meaning to say.
I guess, too, is the cliche, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Yep. Most definitely.
Yeah. And, yeah. Again, I think a lot of that is happening. I see it a lot in this smaller town, but I'm wondering if that's... I would love to think it's better in more urban settings, but I guess I'm not sure.
I'm not really sure myself, but I remember in Maryland, it's very... It's... How do I describe it? It's very the first thought you think is the right thought. At the time, there really was no reconditioning yourself to think something else. If you thought one thing, that must have been how it was. My whole family from there is very racist, and it's kind of like what you mentioned about some older family members, where you hear them say these things, and in your head, you're like, huh, oh, that's right, but you have to physically retrain yourself not to think that, especially when I visit there. It's terrible.
Sure. Stressful for you to go back?
It's very stressful for me to go back, because everyone there is just, they don't care about other people. They don't care about how they influence other people, what they say, what they do, how they how they communicate with people, affects people. They don't think about that. And it's very stressful to be around them, because I find myself getting, like, very affected by their behavior.
Sure. It sounds like you're getting anxious and wound up. Even just sitting here, you're kind of...
Yep.
Your hand motions are getting a little bit more twitchy.
Just thinking about it made me really anxious. It's really hard to be around them.
Sure.
Not my sisters, but my other family. My sisters are actually pretty good in that area.
Good. Well, and you mentioned how strong that relationship is, so hopefully when you do go out and visit, that's a strong balancing force for you.
I generally have to talk to them every day when I visit my other family, because they just stress me out so much.
Sure. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. Everyone's got that. At least one family member that does that.
Yeah, we all do.
Yep.
And I'm lucky enough to know some of your family members. Not necessarily super close. But
you don't have to be close to have a good positive influence on anyone.
And I know that the ones you are close to are super influential in a positive way for you. So luckily you had that when you moved here.
That's true.
I'm kind of wondering... To branch out past Winona, to kind of broaden the scope a little bit, what your thoughts are just kind of on the state of the world right now as it relates to sexuality.
I know we had a little bit of a hiccup recently.
A hiccup?
with a certain person in power.
Oh, yes, okay.
But I think ever since then, it's been a little quiet. It hasn't been, like, with the rest of the world, with your original question was about about identity, right?
Yes, and how you're kind of perceiving the state of the world, and whether, you know, whether that's positive, negative, any things that pop into your mind concern-wise, or...
I mean, there's been a lot of negative things in the news about it, like the... clubs with their
fine, don't worry about it,
with their incidents, like with the shooting and everything, and that they've been pretty frequent lately. Within the past 2 years, I've been hearing about them more and more and more. Other than that, though, I think it's been, me personally, because I don't know that much, I think it's been pretty good. I've been hearing lots of good things from other people, like that I'll talk to online, because I still go on, like, websites and I talk to people, because sometimes I even feel like maybe I'm a little unsure about some things. Maybe I want to learn some new information. I'll go talk to other people. And
a lot of people are very open that I talk to mm-hmm. about that. So I think at least in openness, it's good.
Good.
It's getting better.
Mm-hmm. There's a willingness.
There's a willingness to learn, to talk, to essentially guide people to the right decision about their lives.
Would you say, do you think that the people who have a desire to learn and the desire to advocate for others is larger than the population that still
doubts? It's going back and forth. I think that some years it seems like it's larger than people who don't advocate for it. Mm-hmm. And then I think some years, like as the generations keep going, it'll be like suddenly there's no one who's willing to talk about it. Suddenly there's no one who's willing to stand up and, you know, help. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a constant back and forth. There's always going to be people who don't agree with it. There's always going to be people who love it, who love people being out and free and gay. And that's how it's always going to be. There's always going to be someone who disagrees with something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I hope it becomes more positive, more people who will stand up, more people who understand, more people who are willing to communicate, more people who are accepting
sure.
of the way the world is becoming. Mm-hmm. And becoming a little more gay every day.
A little more gay every day?
Yes.
I like that.
I do too.
Probably not something that would go on a bumper sticker, but I do like it.
Why not?
Well, you know, and you keep talking about the back and forth and the fact that communication needs to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that this was something that was an obvious part of your personality to yourself from a young age, I think you said 10. Is there any advice or anything you'd want to tell other children or even adults
who are looking at their identity? I would love mm-hmm. to talk to people. My problem is that I'm very blunt. I'm not great at talking to people. I can be, but sometimes I get a little frustrated, like when I can't express myself very well.
Sure.
But I've always been open to talking to people when they had questions. I have always said, if you want to talk about anything about this subject or anything in general, talk to me.
Yeah.
I always wanted to like when kids were having issues in school because of their teachers, I was always like, I'll talk to your teacher. Like, if you don't want to tell them outright, like, that you're gay, I'll talk to your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to talk to people.
Sure.
If they wanted to. Sure. I would never try and force someone to talk about something they were not ready to talk about.
Oh, of course. But say a child in middle school were to approach you and have, you know, some concerns or some questions, what kind of advice do you think you would give them?
I would one of the first things I would tell them is to find your support system.
Mm-hmm.
I found mine very easily, very quickly. So I didn't struggle with that part too much.
Sure.
But even if it's a friend who you can confide in, someone who you know will keep an eye out on you, so you need someone to support you. That is always the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out your questions slowly and later, but having someone who is there for you is much more important than deciding so quickly, oh, I am this identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to take your time. It is okay to research. It's okay to really sit with yourself and take your time.
Mm-hmm.
Find your support, take your time. And if you never want to come out, if you feel like you're never safe to come out, mm-hmm. which everyone should always feel safe, but there are some certain situations where, like, where you live, your community, your family, your friends, you never feel safe. Don't feel like you have to come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have to come out. You should just feel free to come out.
Sure.
Always be safe. Do what is safest for you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good advice, mm-hmm. especially knowing that there are times where people know who they are and yet don't want that to be known by other people.
Exactly. And that's their prerogative.
Exactly. And it's not like you're not coming out. You have, at that point, acknowledged it to yourself.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day,
that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a heavy subject. And honestly, 40, 45 minutes isn't enough time to unpack a lot of it from someone's personal story to their thoughts on so many things. But even just sitting down and talking like this has been helpful. And I'm glad that it gave me a chance to kind of learn a little bit more
mm-hmm.
because we were friends in high school and still know each other now. And yet this is something that I've never really unpacked with you. And I'm sorry about that.
No.
I don't think it was intentionally me being uncomfortable about it. I think it just never occurred to me that it was something that merited talking about, because it was very natural.
Right, exactly.
To me. But I'm understanding, the more that I think about it, that it could be perceived the other way.
Which it wasn't perceived by me that way. Okay. To me, it was very natural not to talk. Not that I didn't want to talk about it. It was just, she knows who I am. She accepts me for who I am. And that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
If she wanted to know something, she would ask. If she didn't mm-hmm. want to know something, that's okay. Like,
sure.
It circles back to that. You're the only one who needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to leave it that way, that's fine. And I let you know, and you said, okay. And that's it. There.
Everything's good.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to tell everyone your life story for them to understand. Sometimes they just understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it is.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. I am happy to do what I can for this community.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Not a problem.
And are you okay before I turn this off, just to let you know? I think I'd mentioned this to you before recording, but for the sake of making sure that I cover it during the recording, this is for a class assignment.
Mm-hmm.
It will be heard by my professor and students in my class.
Okay.
If you're not comfortable with that, I can find alternate ways of uploading and sharing it.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't care who hears this. This is fine.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.